Recording has restarted at 11:57 a.m. We'll do a quick roll call. Dr. King?
Here.
Dr. Bustillo?
Here.
Dr. Hike?
Here.
Mr. Greer?
Here.
Mr. Barton? Mr. Barton, you're muted.
I am here.
Ms. Crowley?
Here.
Ms. Richardson?
Present.
Ms. Cardoza is absent. I'm Judy Chepius. We are all back. Dr. King, the meeting is yours.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. The motion is to amend the current ICA, adding the findings and recommendations of the psych sexual evaluation. And that Mindy will continue to receive records and evaluate to make sure that Mr. Kempton's being compliant. Do we have any further discussion before we take a vote?
Dr. King, you might have noticed that I just walked in from my deposition and good morning. I didn't hear, we lost internet connection here, and so I didn't hear the motion. If I could just hear the motion again, please.
Sure. Ms. Chepius, do you mind repeating the motion?
The motion made before executive session was to offer an amended interim consent agreement to incorporate the additional recommendations outlined in the evaluation. If the amended ICA is not signed, the matter will be brought back to the board for consideration of all of its options, including possible summary suspension.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And Dr. King, after the board votes, I have a couple of requests that I wanted to make on behalf of the client.
Oh, thank you, Ms. King.
Thank you.
Dr. King, I just want to make it known for the record that Ms. Kent has joined the meeting after executive session, which was at 11:59.
Thanks, Ms. Chepius. If there's no other discussion, let's vote on this particular motion.
It's been moved and seconded to offer an amended interim consent agreement to incorporate the additional recommendations outlined in the evaluation. If the amended interim consent agreement is not signed, the matter will be brought back to the board for consideration of all of its options, including possible summary suspension. Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo.
Yes.
Dr. Hike.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you, members of the board, for allowing me to appear late. As you know, I had a conflict in the deposition that I could not move. The requests that I have, first of all, are I need the board to authorize permission for me to speak to the evaluator. She won't speak to me unless the board gives her permission. And I would like to understand and help my client understand her report. And so that's my first request. And then you want me to just give them all to you at once? Yeah, okay. And then my second request is the client has requested an opportunity to repeat the lie detector test and at his own cost. And so that won't interfere with any of the, obviously, the ICA. But I don't see any downside to letting him do that. So that's my second request. And then my third request is just a proposition to resolve this case. I had recommended that I meet with Judy and Mark to try and craft a long-term consent agreement so that we can avoid additional hearings on that. That's something that we could work on informally and bring that to the board, assuming that we could work on something. It might not be something let's just say that. So that's something I typically do with other boards is I work with the executive director and the attorney at a consent agreement, a long-term consent agreement. If that's not palatable, maybe one of the board members and the executive director could work with me on something so that we could have something in front of the board by the January meeting. That's my thinking. That's just a proposition.
Ms. Kent, I would suggest that you address all of those requests with Mark. I think he's the best person. He speaks to the board on these issues, and he's the best person to get you the three things that you need on all of those.
I'm happy to. I'll just send you a letter or an email today, Mark, just kind of reaffirming those three requests. Okay.
That'll be fine.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to move on now to agenda item number 9D, Linda Fram, PT initial review. Is Ms. Fram on the call? Okay. Mindy, do you want to give us a brief, just an overview of your investigative report and where we're at with Ms. Fram?
Sure. Complaint 2250 was open because Ms. Fram obtained her Arizona compact privilege prior to successfully passing her AZ jurisprudence exam. She has since submitted evidence that she has surrendered her AZ compact privilege. The reason it's before you is that the complaint had already been opened, and so it's before you to determine if you're going to take any action, given that she surrendered her compact privilege.
Okay, thank you.
So do we need to dismiss the case if we're not going to take any action? I move to dismiss.
Second.
Okay.
Okay, Judy, want to call the vote?
It's been moved and seconded to dismiss case 2250 for Linda Fram. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. Agenda item 9E.
Hold on one moment. I just have to get the document up. This is action about opening a complaint related to AR, physical therapist assistant. Board staff were informed that AR was arrested/charged with domestic violence on 7/10/22. Pursuant to ARS 3208, Mr. Riva failed to report the charges within the 10-day required timeline. It appears he has paid the required court-ordered fines and has submitted proof of attending the court-ordered anger management training. AR states that he believes all charges will be dismissed at his next court appearance, which is on 12/22/22.
Mr. Harris, is this a felony conviction or not?
That is a good question. Let me review the paperwork.
I couldn't tell.
I think in either event, the conviction hasn't occurred yet, right?
Yeah, but the statute requires
it's a charge.
The charge. But it only applies to felonies or or crimes related to the practice. And I guess this would be arguably related to the practice.
Yeah.
Sure. Being that it's in the municipal court, my thought is it's probably not a felony. And if Mark can confirm that, I would move to take no action.
Yeah. If it's okay, why don't you make that motion? And if I find information contrary to that, we will bring it back to you in January.
Okay.
Okay.
Gentlemen. Hello?
Hello?
I'm on the call. This is Mr. Riva.
Oh, Mr. Rivas, can you tell us whether this?
Yes. So they said if any conviction would have gone through, it would have been a misdemeanor. Okay. But everything, because it was just a domestic argument, that everything's going to be dropped within the next 2 days, and I'll even submit paperwork to prove such.
Oh, great.
Well, I would move to take no action.
Second.
Okay, so it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All right, Judy, you want to call the vote?
It's been moved and seconded to take no action against AR. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right. And last on our list today is review and consideration of opening complaint for HJ.
HJ is a physical therapist. Board staff were informed that she was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct on 130.21 pursuant to ARS 32.3208. HJ failed to report the charges within the 10-day required timeline. She has submitted proof of completion of her court-ordered domestic nonviolence treatment program, and the court dismissed the case on 11-27-21. This case is for your review.
And on this one, I was able to confirm that this was a misdemeanor charge. And so based on that, I would move to take no action.
Second.
I'm sorry, who seconded that?
That was Mr. Barton.
Thank you.
So we have a motion and a second to take no action. Any discussion? All right, let's call the vote.
It's been moved and seconded to take no action against HJ. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Okay. So that takes us into so many pages. Sorry for flipping all the pages. We are at board business. I didn't miss anyone, right? You guys keep me in check. Thomas, Cunningham, Kent, and Fran. Okay, I think we got it all. So agenda item number 10, board business.
Yes. So the first item within board business is adopting the scheduled meeting dates, virtual meeting dates for 2023. Your packet included a calendar just for ease of demonstration. The November and December, as has been successful in the past, those meetings have been moved in advance of the holidays. So it is up for your discussion.
On the November meeting, I think this year we had it the week before Thanksgiving.
We did.
Mm-hmm. And this one puts it 2 days before Thanksgiving.
You are absolutely right.
Oh, wow.
I will be much more likely to be here if it's the week before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Or we would have it on the 28th, the week after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this, you know, I don't think the November 21st date's a great date.
I actually like the 28th. One, two, three, four. That keeps us on our regular schedule. And then the December meeting will be
three weeks.
3 weeks after that.
Right. The 21st was selected based on the fact of just simply counting Tuesdays, where yes, it would be the 28th would be the fourth Tuesday. Keep in mind, the meeting as the 28th means all of the preparation, the posting, all of that occurs.
Oh, Thanksgiving.
Pretty much on the Thanksgiving.
That makes sense. So then our option would be to move it potentially then to the 14th or keep it 2 days before Thanksgiving. Is that what we're hearing?
The 14th. The question, I suppose, could be raised because the October one is the 24th. If you wanted to advance the November meeting, that really puts it 2 weeks after the October meeting. Well, the question could be whether you want to have a November meeting.
It will be 3 weeks. It will be 3 weeks after, because you have the 30.
You're right. You're right.
And the, but I'm okay foregoing a November meeting too, if that's an option.
I am too. I mean, if something comes up and we need an emergency board meeting, we can. That's always in our purview, right? There's something that needs to be addressed between October and December that can't really wait.
I believe I would like to question Monica on this one. Veronica is not here, but if we did that, it doesn't leave us in any lurch about exam approvals or whatnot, because the deadline would still be December.
Correct.
Those board approvals. So those would not necessarily come in November.
No.
Okay. So that is an option for the board.
What was an option for the board, to move it to the 14th or to forego November?
Either. Oh. Any option is on the table. Move it to the 14th, leave it the 21st, move it to the 28th, or forego the meeting. Any of those are available.
What are your preferences, amazing board members?
If we're not going to get in trouble, I would say let's just forego it.
Yeah, I'd be inclined to second that. If there's not a reason we have to do it, that's a tough time to have a meeting. And it's likely to be hard for any of the respondents who are going to be showing up too. So I wouldn't be opposed to that and would second Mr. Gurr's motion.
That was just my opinion.
You're fine with that. Oh, unless it wasn't a motion.
Okay, so then the discussion is to cancel a November meeting. And then are we good then with December being on the 19th?
As opposed to the 26th, yes.
Right. Well, I was even just thinking about, if we're going to not have anything in November, maybe the 12th.
That would work too.
And that way it's not anywhere near the holidays for anyone.
I'd be good with that.
And that gives board staff several weeks after Thanksgiving to get things taken care of. And the 12th then might really work. So how about that? We don't have one in November, but we have one earlier in December. Sound okay?
That works for me.
Yeah.
Does that work for everyone? All in favor?
Do we need a...
Aye.
Do we need a motion on this, Judy? Or these are just... Do we need a motion, Mr. Harris?
We should, just to clarify it.
Okay. Yes.
I would move to adopt the proposed meeting dates for 2023 with the following alterations, eliminating the November 21st, 2023 meeting and moving the December 19th, 2023 meeting to December 12th, 2023.
Second. Okay. Any discussion? All right, then let's take a vote.
It has been moved and seconded to adopt the proposed meeting dates for 2023 with the exception of eliminating the November 21st, 2023 meeting and moving the December meeting to December 12th, 2023. Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bastia.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Dr. Hike.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
That motion passes.
Aye. Continue.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Kelly.
Continuing competence audit process update.
Yes. So at this point, we are looking at 141 compliant licensees and certificate holders. There are six that are in the process of still completing. We've been engaging in some back and forth questions about the documentation that they provided. They're looking to clarify things. Five have been found to be deficient. Two of those at this point, I believe, are actually have actually rectified those deficiencies and taken their coursework already. So those will be being wrapped up and brought to the board. And then there are six licensees and certificate holders for whom we have not heard any responses regardless of the certified letter, a mailed letter, and an email notice. So they still have a little bit of time after that emailed notice for us to hear from them. My intention is to reach out to them directly to determine where they stand and progress it further in that respect. Are there any questions?
No.
Okay. Then the next thing on the agenda is with respect to compact purchases. So this was an item that the board had heard discussions about and had requested that it be brought back for further discussion. So the question before you is what to do with PT compact privilege purchases without successful completion of the AZ Law jurisprudence exam. So the memo included, so I'll just read this for the record, is that PT compact purchases are reviewed on a weekly basis. Currently, if a privilege is purchased prior to the successful completion of the AZ law exam, the name is turned over to the investigator and a complaint is opened. This includes drafting the complaint, contacting the individual, sending the notice of complaint, requesting for a response, allowing 30 days for the respondent to submit a written response. Next, the investigator drafts a memo to the board outlining the potential violations, conducts any kind of interviews through that process, if necessary, and compiles any and all exhibits. The matter is finally then agendized for board review and possible action. In these cases, historically, the board has allowed the respondent the opportunity to voluntarily surrender the PT compact privilege. If the respondent complies, the complaint is dismissed. If not, he or she is invited to an informal hearing. To date, the cases brought before the board, the respondent has elected to voluntarily surrender his or her privilege, thereby avoiding any disciplinary action. Voluntary surrendering allows the respondent the opportunity to repeat the purchase of the compact privilege in the proper order and removes any kind of discipline that can impact any other compact privileges as well. So the board is asked to consider potential options for a more expeditious yet equally satisfactory resolution, thereby reducing the investigative efforts in these matters. You may choose to consider options like providing a time frame for them to pass the jurisprudence exam, sending a board approved letter to voluntarily surrender the privilege, or any other action that can be delegated to staff. So this matters for your discussion.
This is Mr. Barton. I've reviewed the proposed letter from the executive, from the staff here, and I think it actually treads a fairly nice balance. I think that we could very easily provide some sort of a grace period. It seems to me, when we have seen these things, the vast majority of them appear to me to be somebody who's not navigating I won't speak to the validity of these excuses, but the most common excuse seems to be they haven't navigated the website well enough and clicked the wrong button or signed up for the wrong item. And so I think providing a grace period as listed in the letter, or a voluntary surrender if that's not going to be an option for them, I think is a valid choice. I think it would do much to limit the investigatory need, and given our usual response to these types of things, I think it would be equally just and efficient. So I would move that we authorize staff to provide this letter and a short grace period in order to resolve these and similar complaints.
I second your motion.
My only concern is that we previously treated this, because this is basically people not following directions. And I mean, we've treated this very seriously, and I understand a change of position, but I don't think this outlines the severity is how we see this. This is a big deal here. You went ahead and applied and obtained a privilege, checking three boxes saying that you've taken or will taken and passed the jurisprudence exam, in which you hadn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all in favor of streamlining the process. I kind of liked the process that we have. I know it's not a huge consequence, but there is a consequence. And so,
was there a time frame, Mr. Barton, on if the board staff contacts the person and they don't surrender their comp high privilege within a time frame, then it comes before the board as a...
Then what do we do?
Potential complaint.
Well, I think...
At that point, you're practicing without a license. Legally.
Yeah, and that's my inclination is... And Mr. Greer, I am sympathetic to your concerns. I think my perspective is give them, I'm not familiar with how frequently the AZ law exam, I'm blanking on how often it is available, but I think it's available
every single day, right?
It's every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my inclination would be to instruct the staff to give them a relatively short window, like maybe even 2 weeks, to complete the exam, and then if they don't, bring it before the board. And the reason that I like that, Mr. Greer, is I think that then when these cases come before this board, we have reason to really believe that they are practicing without a license, right? Which is something that I think in our previous discussions, we have frequently suspected, but not ever had any real evidence of. And I think a failure in this case, you know, if we give them this grace period and say, if it was a typo, this is your chance to fix it. And if it's not, then, you know, then the board can come in. And I think we can be a little more aggressive with those who fail to meet that grace period. That's my perspective. I don't know that resolves your concerns or not, but that's the perspective that I had on this for a relatively short window.
You have two kinds of people. There's the people who think they can take it afterwards, and then there's the people who take it thinking they're going to pass it and buy their compact privilege and then fail.
Yes.
They don't pass it. And I just, yes, we don't have many of these complaints.
Thank goodness. We used to have so many of them. Holy cow.
We used to have a lot more. Mm-hmm. We send this letter out, and if it works, great. If it doesn't work, all we've done is add one more letter to the process outlined by staff at the beginning of this. And, you know, I just think we keep, you know, I think it's working now. I think the number of complaints have gone down. We're not dealing with 4 or 5 a board meeting like we were a year ago. And so I wouldn't make any change, but.
Judy, what's the impact on like Mindy and investigating and all of that? You know, like what is the work impact on the board staff for this particular plan versus how we've been doing it?
So in essence.
I can quickly answer, you know, in Fromm's case, that probably took me 6, 7, 8 investigative hours to go back and forth, write it up, confirm everything, and get it in front of you.
Okay. So, I mean, that would be my only thing is to reduce, especially since we only have one part-time investigator, to reduce the workload on her in these situations. And if they don't respond or surrender, and I would say less than a week to get all that done. It's an email or it's to take the exam. Then they come before the board.
But then we just added a letter on top of, if they don't comply, we've added a letter on top of 8 hours.
I think what's happening now, though, is that we've got the 8 hours every time.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that the letter plus the 8 hours would be minimal, if any, versus the 8 hours every single time a person does this.
Does that make any sense? Because every time someone comes through with this, Mindy's got to investigate, and then it comes to us.
Yeah, and that's kind of my perspective, too, is I think if we gave them a relatively short window, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is we can send this letter out basically summarily without a significant investigation.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if we send out this letter and we correct 3/4 of the ones that are left, that really cuts down on the investigative time. And frankly, it gives us the ability to be a little more aggressive with the ones who don't comply with it, because then we have a reason to know that they're trying to skirt the system.
Maybe.
Or really, really bad at following directions.
So I guess my concern with the a 2-week window to take the exam, even though it's offered daily, is that you can't get in to test. And so, I mean, I have several new grads who it's taken months and months for them to be able to take their tests. And so I don't know what that's going to do to the process or not.
So there's a few mechanics to take into consideration here. So the AZ Law exam currently, the way we are doing business currently, requires that board staff mark them eligible. There is a 24 to 48 hour time frame after they're marked eligible within which an authorization to test letter goes out. They need that authorization to test letter. That's sent directly from the Federation. They need that authorization to test letter prior to being able to make any kind of scheduling with a Prometric Center. So it's a case in some points traveling to a Prometric Center if some of these people are buying privileges to go to a rural area or whatnot. So there are some mechanics. So a week would be a really short turnaround time, assuming that all the lettering is going out. It's possible, I think, that they could do it within reason within 2 weeks. And to Karen, to your point, I believe it's probably people that are going through the endorsement process or the examination process when they're applying. So there could be an NPTE involved there. There could be transcripts that we're waiting on. There could be a variety of documents. So the compact is a little bit of a different animal because it's simply them purchasing it. It's registering for the exam, following through and telling us that they have registered so we can mark them eligible. They get their letter, then they can schedule and take the test.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything keeping them from treating during that time frame?
Well, we could certainly add to the letter something along the lines of until all of these components are met, you are not to be treating patients in Arizona.
You're not authorized.
Yeah. And I would lean on Mr. Harris to help to make that accurate verbiage to withstand tests. So.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be okay with moving this direction so long as that verbiage is in that letter, because that would be my bigger concern is that, well, oh, I've got 2 weeks or whatever it is to take this test, but I can treat in the meantime. Well, no, you can't because you're technically not licensed.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second, I think.
Just for clarification, because it has bounced around a little bit, whether we're talking about a grace period for the exam, which I think I'm hearing you say is 2 weeks, or voluntary surrender. Do you want both of those in there? And then it would be brought back to the board for further review if they don't do either.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. So the letter that was provided to us just has a grace period. I think the course we're proposing here is a 14-day grace period or a surrender. Okay. And then and you have kind of both options there in kind of a parens, and I think you can just put or and add them both and then add a 14-day grace period. I think that's the motion I was intending to share.
Okay.
Okay. Mr. Barton, do you want to include the additional information that Mr. Leone had mentioned?
Yes.
With respect to
I'm not opposed to
a warning not to practice. Okay.
Okay, so I have a motion and a second. If there's no other discussion.
Did we have a second on that one?
I don't know if we ever got to a second.
I'll yeah, second. King, Dr. King.
I think I thought I did, but
you did.
Been a long day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so it has been moved and seconded to direct staff to provide a 2-week grace period to a privileged purchaser who has not completed the AZ Law jurisprudence exam to complete that exam within 2 weeks or to voluntarily surrender the compact privilege. If neither has occurred, the matter will be brought back to the board for further review. In addition to the proposed letter, would be that an advisory statement that the individual is not to practice in Arizona until all of these matters are completed successfully. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo? Dr. Bastillo, you're muted.
Karen, you're still muted, friend.
I think she's struggling.
We'll come back to her.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
No.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Can she type hers in the chat and read it out loud? She's saying that she's got her internet's not working for her.
She's on here twice again. I don't know if maybe that's limiting it.
She can't get in. Do we have enough? If she doesn't vote, do we have enough to pass?
We have enough votes.
Okay. She's having an internet problem, so I think we should show that she was unable to vote.
Oh, there she is. She's back.
I'm back.
Yeah.
Dr.
I vote yes.
Okay. All right. That motion passes. Okay. That brings us to the October financials. Are there any questions, concerns, thoughts? Yeah. Okay. Moving on to the licenses and certificates provided in the month of November. We had several uneventful, typical board business. Any questions there? Okay. Any future agenda items? I think you're all ready for the next one.
We are.
Hurry, get to the end, Judy.
We need then a motion to adjourn.
I motion that we adjourn.
Second.
All right.
Is there any discussion on that?
I'm thinking it was less enthusiastic than I was anticipating it would be.
I think we're all.
It has been moved and seconded to adjourn. Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Dr. Hike.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
That motion passes. The meeting is adjourned at 12:36 p.m. That was a lot
hey,
of
everyone. Have a great holiday.
Have a good Christmas.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays.
Enjoy.
Bye.
Stopping the recording at 12:36.